Good evening. Welcome to the first episode of The Missing Piece. I'm Trish Moe, broadcasting live on New Orleans 105.3 in the United Public Radio Network. Some of you may recognize me from the Pittsburgh Paranormal Society's Chasing Prophecy, and I would like to thank Jenny Nicasio for giving me the opportunity to join Chasing last year, as well as Sean Kelly and Jason Lampietro, my other co-hosts on there. You can watch Chasing Prophecy on Tuesday nights from 8 to 10 p.m. Central Time. And I'd also like to thank Joe Montaldo and United Public Radio Network for giving me this amazing opportunity as well, and having faith in all my weirdness. Thank Carnation for sponsoring this hour as well. And just kind of a brief introduction of who I am. As many of you know, I'm an intuitive medium, certified clinical hypnotherapist, artist, photographer, author, collector of magic and memories of the weird, wild, and wonderful. Different creatures, cryptids, all the people I've encountered along my journey. And I'll get more into my own stories and various segments down the road as well. But for tonight, since I was born outside of Roswell, New Mexico, and this subject is very near and dear to me, I thought tonight's guest would be a perfect opening for The Missing Piece on this Monday Eve. So without any further ado, let's get to it. It is my pleasure to introduce Rupert Kotorsch. Am I completely mispronouncing your name?
That's kind of my stage name. This is Rupert Kotorsch.
Yeah. Okay. Rupert he's the founder of the Global CE5 network of human initiated alien contact groups, including the Missouri CE5 and the Kansas CE5. He's the author of Aliens, Avatars, Ghosts, and God, a sci-fi novel about the spirit realm, extra-dimensional space, extra-dimensional time. And he has a first-class honors degree in physics and space science and technology from the University of
Leicester. Yeah, we spell things strangely in England. Leicester.
And X-ray astrophysics research experience, working with space-based X-ray telescopes. And you currently give international seminars on everything from alien species to life after death. Well, welcome. I am so glad you're here. I know it's kind of crazy and last minute, but so is England your native country?
Yes, I was born in England. I've been in the US on and off for about 20 years now.
Oh, wow. Okay.
Yeah.
And you currently reside in the Midwest, correct?
Yeah, I'm currently in Kansas.
I have been here for a few years, well, off and on for a long time, a few years now. Go back to the beginning. When and how did your interest and passion in alien contact first begin, I guess, before the CE5?
Yeah, well, I've always been interested in trying to understand everything. My two big focuses throughout my life have been reality, understanding what is real, and morality, which is how do we affect the emotions of other people. And as a child, I can remember sitting in my science classes thinking, I want to help to save the world. I want to make the world a better place. How can I go about doing that? And it seemed like the logical first step. Well, first of all, I need to understand the world. I need to understand the universe. And once you understand the world, the universe, then you can do something about it, about the problems within the universe. So I set about learning science, but at the same time, and this is as a child, I set about learning as much as I could about everything that people referred to as the supernatural or the paranormal. So aliens, are on that list. We've got Bigfoot, we've got ghosts, we've got reincarnation, healing, all the things that are on your radio station here. And so I set about researching all of those. And I learned fast, both science and everything to do with the paranormal. And then I started to have some of my own experiences.
I was just about to ask at that time, you know, as a child, if there was something kind of, even before you had that interest, you know, that if there was something that happened in your life that you remember that kind of sparked that curiosity, I guess.
Yeah, I don't think there really was. I was raised as a Christian. So I was trying to understand that, and I was trying to figure out how did science and religion fit together. So I was really diving into my research, trying to understand that.
That's a lot for a kid. How old would you say you were?
I'm sorry?
How old would you say when all of this kind of started?
Well, my interest in morality started when I was just a little kid of about 6 years old, and I was watching things like The Waltons on TV back in England, which is all sort of American morality-based show. But I was also, I guess I can remember about the age of 8 or 9, watching those late-night shows that were about the paranormal, the supernatural. Now, I may have had a ghostly encounter when I was really young, but it wasn't probably very significant. My first real experiences started happening when I was about 18, and I started getting sleep paralysis. And of course, there are scientists out there that will say, well, we know what sleep paralysis is. This is very well understood. It's a science thing. Yeah. But it didn't feel like a science thing. Mm-hmm. So it felt like a spiritual thing. And so I was trying to bring in all of my logical reasoning to try and figure out what was going on here. And I was at university. I had friends that were rigging ghost detectors around me when I slept to see if we could figure this out. And I didn't figure it out until a few years later, when somebody I knew said their mother was a spiritualist. And the mother didn't know anything about me, but my friend told me that if I wanted to, I could get a reading from her. And I was interested. So I had to write down a request for a reading on a piece of paper, seal it in an envelope, pass it to my friend. My friend gave it to the mother. And on the basis of that, she gave me a reading. And in that reading, she described my sleep paralysis experiences perfectly. And so I wrote back to her and I said, look, I feel like, because she told me that there's a spirit that's trying to contact me. And
I don't mean to interrupt. So in this reading, though, so when you're passing, so you didn't meet, I guess, one-on-one with her.
We didn't need to meet, and I've since learned.
I was just clarifying that you weren't, you know.
Yeah, I've since learned all about remote viewing and astral projection, right. And I know you can take yourself anywhere in time and space to see what's there. So that's what this woman did, and so she told me that I was connecting with a spirit, and I said, yeah, I don't think it's a good spirit because it doesn't feel nice when this sleep paralysis happened. And she said, no, it is a good spirit. What you're feeling is just, there's something about the way they died is making your head feel uncomfortable. I was like, oh, okay. So next time it happened, I tried to communicate with the spirit. Instead of trying to pull myself out of it, I tried to communicate with it. And what I found was that I had a short message given to me. It was essentially the spirit sang to me in a nice way. And let me know, this is real. The spirit realm is real. Spirits are real. You're okay. And that was basically the message.
So I get a lot of messages.
My first real experience that I experienced.
And so how did you transition, I guess, from that, from from spirits and receiving messages in that manner to alien contact? Yeah. Or do you consider them one and the same?
There are very, very strong connections, but at the time, I think I was considering them to be separate things. I was researching everything I possibly could about reality. I was going up onto hills at nighttime. Whitehorse Hill in England was a favorite of mine, and reaching out to aliens to try to see if I could connect with any aliens.
And so I assume that's where you got into, well, first of all, what exactly is, tell the listeners what CE5 is and how you got into that.
Yeah, so there's this big movement sweeping around the world at the moment called CE5. And CE5, and that's the name of my group, Global CE5 on Facebook. And Global CE5, or CE5, stands for Close Encounters of the Fifth Kind. Now, you may be familiar with Steven Spielberg's Close Encounters movie.
I have not. I'm sure our listeners have.
Okay. Well, that's a good movie. You should go and watch that. There is a scale that a doctor called Hynek created in 1972. And Hynek's scale was for alien or UFO encounters. And he defined a close encounter of the first kind as when you see a UFO in the sky, not just a light in the distance, but maybe some kind of definable size or shape in the distance there. And that would be a close encounter of the first kind. The second kind is when there's some kind of trace, physical trace or evidence left behind. For example, feeling like you're paralyzed, like a sleep paralysis, or a scorch mark in the ground, or radiation, or something like that. The third kind was if somebody sees an alien, maybe on board the spacecraft, they can see in a window and they can see something moving around. The fourth kind is when you actually get taken by aliens, maybe on board their craft. So some people would call that abduction. Close encounters of the fifth kind, although it doesn't have to be a close encounter, it can happen at a large distance via remote viewing or astral projection. That is human initiated contact with aliens. So people that do CE5, we can make contact with aliens either inside our homes, or we go outside, sit in a nice place in nature, and wherever we are, we meditate, we try to then remote view with or remote communicate with or astrally project to alien entities. And that is basically going to them, tapping them on the shoulder and saying, hey, we're here. If you like, we're inviting you to come down and show yourself in the sky, or come into our homes, or have some kind of a contact or communication with us. So that's what CE5 is.
And so is there a correlation? I know you choose, you have a lot of different locations. You'll be going on tour actually in the near future. I do have those dates and stuff as well. But do you specifically choose certain locations that might be better for contact, or is it just based on your intuition, or kind of like the different rock formations and things like that that might harness more, I don't know, spiritual magnetic?
Well, there's two main ways to do CE5, and we do both. One is, you know, just like this in a Zoom meeting. In Global CE5 on Facebook, I have Zoom meetings where we have up to 100 people all Zooming at the same time, and I guide them through a meditation and guide them through astrally projecting to aliens. So you can do this from your home. And when we do that, we all go through time and space to whatever our target location is, and we can have real conversations with the aliens, and we can hear things back, and we can see see them in their natural environment, and we can invite them into our homes, and some psychically perceptive people can see them in their homes. We can even get healing from them just over Zoom sessions. They come into our homes, they come into us, and they can give us healing. The other way of doing CE5 is to go outside into a location where it might be easier to see them in the sky if they actually were to show themselves in a craft or a UFO. And when I do that, I tend to look for isolated locations without light pollution, places, national forests, state parks, trailheads going out into nature. So there's a lot of sort of natural beauty associated with doing a CE5 outside. Occasionally, we will hear of a location which is supposed to be very active with UFOs or aliens. For example, the San Luis Valley or Roswell, places like that. So sometimes we target those locations specifically.
Well, and I said that I'm not familiar with Steven Spielberg's movie. I don't really watch TV or movies that much. I don't. So anything, but I did grow up in, you know, on top of a mountain in the Gila Wilderness. So on the border of Arizona and New Mexico, and being, a very spiritual person, I have to be in the woods and in nature all the time, to remain grounded and everything. So I think, in my own case anyways, that's how I've, not only enhanced my ability to communicate with, elementals, trees, animals, spirit guides, anything, because I was always in those situations. I was always in those locations, just out in the middle of nowhere where there aren't a lot of people and pollution and noise and stuff. So, that's, not everybody can do that until you actually live in a city, and really, I know people now, I know adults that have never been hiking or camping in their entire lives, but you don't, it's just the difference in, don't get me wrong, there's all kinds of things that go on in a city as well. People just don't notice it as much. So,
yeah, no, I can relate to you, fully. I think we come from nature. We're really a part of nature, but there's so much artificiality in our world and in our society today. People lose touch with that. And psychologically, emotionally, physically, there's so much to gain from being in nature, but a lot of people don't realize that. So it's one of the wonderful things about getting out and doing CE5s is not only are we communicating with these amazing beings from elsewhere, we're also enjoying these spectacular sunsets in the most amazing terrains and enjoying being among the animals and seeing the deer and so forth.
And I've lived in other countries and all over the US, and I tell you, Kansas has some of the most beautiful sunsets I have ever seen in my life. Yeah. I take pictures as well, and so that's why I'm like, man, if people wanted to come just to see open land and beautiful skies, that's the Midwest, Now what equipment, I noticed on your Facebook page, you had a list because you said people had been asking, based on one of your seminars, where you get your equipment and what, equipment do you use? And I guess my curiosity, being around, paranormal investigators this year, and kind of learning what, again, treat me like I, have been living in a hole the last 40 years, because I honestly don't know, I don't know any of the technology that exists now, I guess, for these things. So,
yeah. Well, first I should say, you don't need any technology at all to do CE5, but you can just, from sitting down in your home, reach out, meditate, remote view, communicate with aliens. But it is fun and sometimes rewarding, especially when you're outside, to record things in the sky, to video things appearing and disappearing or flying in an unusual way. And I've experimented with a whole range of different technology. And you can use the same sort of technology for detecting aliens and UFOs as you use in paranormal research.
Right.
So I have gone to some of the paranormal research websites and looked at the equipment that they sell, and some of it could be used. What I have found more than anything else is a night vision, a fairly, I'd say, a medium angle night vision video camera. There's one. Am I allowed to mention brand names here? I'm not sure.
Oh yeah.
there's a Psyonix. There's one called Psyonix Aurora Pro, which pricey. It's about $800, but it's probably the ideal one for this sort of thing, because you can hold it up and look through that, and because it's detecting infrared, it's seeing a lot of detail that you can't see with your eye, with your naked eyes, and so you can use that to look for things as well as to record and detect things. And it's a wide enough angle that you can see a decent portion of the sky, but it's not so narrow that it's telescopic. And it's not so wide angle that anything that appears in the sky is lost in a tiny pixel. So, you know, that's what I tend to use. However, if you want to spend a lot of time doing this, you can use an ordinary optical camera. You can put it on a tripod, take photos with a long exposure so that a lot of light enters, because we're doing this at nighttime, and you can take quite a nice picture of the scene even in a dark place. Mm-hmm.
I just realized the other, you know, I hadn't updated my phone in forever, and I got the iPhone 12, I think. And I think the 12 and up now, because I did it on accident and I was trying to take a picture of the moon, which never turns out right, you know, on your cell phone. And it went to night vision and infrared. And I'm like, that's like, I mean, it's amazing, because I find smartphones now are almost as good of quality as my professional camera. So, but I have noticed, I don't know if you've noticed this or not, but when I try to take pictures with my camera, I have a Nikon 5600 DSLR. And when I try to take pictures of certain, obviously certain clouds or even airplanes, it won't work. Like, it just completely stops working. So sometimes that's when I switch to like my cell phone, because I don't have any fancy equipment, you know. A phone is fancy equipment technically, because that's probably the most expensive out of any equipment we probably own. That's, you know, small,
but. Yeah, technology can be awkward with your DSLR camera. What I do with mine is I make sure the focusing is on manual. Mm-hmm. Because if it's on automatic, it can't find a tiny object in the distance.
Right.
It doesn't know what to focus on. So, you know, little things like that. And you have to continually be playing with the settings. And you can get some great photos with that, those sorts of cameras. But, you know, your iPhone will probably do a really good job also.
Yeah, I don't know. I don't know what it is. I think it's interesting because, that happens a lot of times with spirits as well. You know, they'll affect draining the batteries and everything else on my camera. But yeah. But specifically, like airplane, it just shuts down. So I don't know.
Wow.
Now, I think one of probably the biggest, I get, well, aside from people having a, you know, a fear of the unknown as it is, I have, when talking to friends and stuff about a CE5 meetup, their hesitation would be, what if, you know, have you ever experienced a negative feedback or communication with aliens? Has it always been positive, I guess?
Yeah, no, that's a good question. It's a sensible thing to be concerned about. The method that we use to communicate with aliens is we astrally project to a specific location, to a specific type of alien. And when we do that, it really is very specific. I the analogy that I use is, it's a bit like walking down a street when you're doing remote viewing, and you have buildings, you have houses, shops either side of you, and you walk down the street and you don't walk into any of them until you find the building that you're interested in. Mm-hmm. And you walk up to that building and you knock on the door and you open it and you start communicating with whatever's inside that building. Now, when you simply fall asleep at nighttime, your spirit is not being that disciplined. Your spirit is out there wandering around down that street, flying in through windows, through different buildings. And simply falling asleep is a lot more dangerous than targeted remote viewing.
Yes.
And so what I find is that we never have had any negative experiences at all. We never communicate or contact or have any experiences with any negative beings at all, alien or terrestrial, transdimensional beings. It just never happens because we're being so targeted. And one of the things that maybe people don't understand unless you experience a CE5 event is the level of love and friendship and peace within that group. Because we're not just going out there hoping to get some kind of experience, like put on a light show for us.
Yeah.
We are, certainly in my group, we are a loving, kind, respectful, non-discriminatory group who is really reaching out in love and peace to aliens. And we are showing them the opposite of what they tend to perceive humanity as being. We are showing them that even though we're not like a collective consciousness, in the same way that they are, we are connecting with each other. We're putting aside our differences. We're holding hands. We're embracing emotionally with each other to be positive and loving and non-destructive. And that level, some people would say it raises our vibrational state.
Absolutely. Especially, the more people there are. So.
Yeah. So, yeah, we never have had negative experiences.
And, but it's hard to explain that, I guess, like you said, unless you'd been in that situation. I guess the how I can relate to that is I was terrified all my life of, traumatic abduction experiences and traumatic spirit experiences and all these things, but it's because I was putting that vibration of fear out there, so because that's a negative energy that I was putting out there, I was attracting nothing but negative entities. I mean, they're just feeding off me, as far as that goes. And so when I finally decided to take a different approach and say, okay, I'm going to embrace this because it's not going away. This was only a few years ago. I obviously the same kind of thing, I started attracting much more pleasant and healing and helpful and loving, whether it be spirits or aliens or anything, it's the same with people. You attract what you are. So whatever energy you're focusing on is what you're going to attract. So I guess that's, and then it's just multiplied, I would assume, with a group of people doing the same thing.
Absolutely. Yeah. No, I agree with all of that.
I found it fascinating. you said your groups, because I've been doing a lot of research on this myself, on the effect of music on, you know, different entities, because obviously it affects people in a very healing manner. So I would assume, is there specific, and you had a list of certain songs you sing. Is there a reason you choose those songs? Is it based on their frequencies or?
Yeah, well, you know, this is a very interesting subject. And I think we have one of my big pushes in my group is to raise people's wisdom up closer to the levels of the wisdom of aliens, so that instead of just normal humans going outside and saying, hey, aliens, come down to us, we are raising ourselves close to them and then saying, hey, look at us now, would you like to make contact? And one of the aspects of wisdom that we have a push for is trying to gain knowledge and leave behind some of the beliefs, leave behind beliefs altogether, in fact. Try to focus, because when you look at human history and you look at the for hundreds of thousands of years, how beliefs have different beliefs have resulted in so much conflict.
Oh, yeah.
And inability to advance forwards. And the concept of belief is, well, maybe I shouldn't go down this path. I don't want to upset too many people. But let me talk about, when we talk about frequencies, as a scientist, I know what frequency means. It's the number of oscillations of something every second, measured in hertz. I know what energy is. It's the ability of something to do work that's measured in joules or calories. And when people in the paranormal community talk about vibrations and frequencies and energy, I understand that these are not strictly scientifically correct terms to use. They're more metaphors. Mm-hmm. And they're metaphors that are excellent metaphors, because we really can use them in a way that makes sense, that we understand. Right. But I think it is important to understand the difference between when we're using a metaphor and when we're using an actual scientifically defined term. So now let's take, for example, sound. Sound is a vibration of the air, and it has a frequency. A single tone has a single frequency. If you listen to a voice or a piece of music, it's got frequencies all over the place. There's not one set frequency of sound that the aliens are interested in or that's gonna result in anything. So that's something that I consider, you know, specific frequencies of sound, that sort of thing. That's more sort of a belief system. What I'm doing with my music, or with the music that we are using, is thinking about what is the effect of the music on us, and specifically emotionally. Emotion is such an important, amazing thing that has come out of the universe. Everything vibrates with a frequency, even inert molecules of space dust. Mm-hmm. But not everything has emotion. Right. I mean, jewels of wonder in the universe, like the life that we have on this planet, has emotion. And this is bright and attractive to aliens. Now, when we have negative emotion, like pain and suffering, despair, these are felt by aliens that are telepathic and empathic, because they're way more advanced spiritually than we are. So they feel that. They look at the planet Earth, they open up their senses to the planet Earth, and as well as experiencing all the good emotions, they get overwhelmed with a bombardment of pain and suffering that is caused on this planet, not just in humans, but in all animals.
Mm-hmm. That's how I am. I cannot. And it really, I think I was telling you, you know, I kind of had a few near-death experiences in my life, but it was after this last one that I would literally, I would just be, you know, walking down the forest or something. And the first time it happened, I thought my heart was breaking and I was the saddest. It was a combination of being scared and anxiety and my entire life was flashed, but it wasn't mine. I knew that wasn't my specific, I was feeling that. And there was a butterfly caught in a spider web. Wow. And I'm like, oh my God, I can't do because I was feeling the butterflies, everything. But then at the same time, I was feeling the spiders as well. And so it was very overwhelming. I can't imagine it being even more heightened than that, you know? Because it was hard for me to adjust to things like that. And like animals, if I went by an animal that had been hit by a car or something like that, it's the same. Trees that were cut down. I had a breakdown when one of my favorite places to go, they cut down all the trees. And prior to that, I mean, sure, I had connection with plants, but not feeling the rest of the forest pain, literally, you know, as far as something like that. So
it's interesting. And so, it's wonderful that you're empathic, that you care about animals. You're the kind of person we want in our groups, because if you're the kind of person that is kind to animals, you're non-discriminatory, you're not speciesist, then when you go outside and you reach out to aliens, they see that you're not speciesist, right? Because they're a different species and they're interested in that. And if also on top of that, we can raise our, if we can heighten our emotional state, like our happiness, our joy, our love, which are the most valuable things in the universe, if we can raise those high enough, they're really attracted into that. So, you know, that's why singing songs is something I'm hoping to bring more into my events.
Yeah. What about instruments, I guess? Do you also play instruments when you sing, you know, in the groups?
No. There's a lot that we can do during CE5 events. Intuitive photography, we do the meditations, we're reaching out, we're connecting with them. We are trying to communicate with them and get physical experiences on the ground and see things in the sky. So there's a lot going on, and 4 hours outside in the evening can go past very quickly. You can go outside, you can bang on drums, you can play instruments. There's no magic in the ceremony of that. There's no magic in the specific songs or tunes you're playing. But if you can use instruments or dance or play or sing or do anything that adds cohesion to your group, emotional cohesion, raising the vibration, the emotional state of your group, then that all helps. So, you know, there's no requirements that you have to do it certain ways, but you know, that list of songs that I put up in my group, there's no magic behind them. There's not special frequencies, but when there are certain songs, when you sing it, you feel it.
Absolutely.
You know, and if you can, whatever you're doing outside in a group, if you can feel that, that's attractive to aliens and I think other beings that are out there.
Now I know, and I apologize. Like I said, Amazon held delayed my book. I wanted to read it before you came on. So your book, Aliens, Avatars, Ghosts, and God. When did you write this? Or I guess, how long has it been?
Yeah, I started writing that about 20 years ago when I came over to the US. Wow. But I finished it about 15 years ago, and I've tweaked it over the years.
And just tell us a little bit about it.
So my first idea about 20 years ago was, I've learned so much about the paranormal, aliens, ghosts, the spirit realm. I started to write a textbook on the supernatural. And even though I'm a scientist, I'm used to science textbooks, I started to find it kind of dry and boring. And even though there's a lot of interesting things in there, it didn't feel attractive to me. So I decided I'm going to make it attractive by writing it in the form of a novel. And so I'm a big sci-fi fan. And so I started to come up with this story that could fit within it, introducing all of the educational aspects of what I've learned about the paranormal. And so that when you start reading it, you'll see that it's a novel. And if you can make it past the first scene, which is kind of intense and confusing for very good reasons, which I won't go into, but if you can make it past the first scene to when people start talking, then what you'll find yourself on is this science fiction journey, which is very comparable to what's happening on Earth right now, the problems we're facing and the reasons we're facing them, and everything that's important in life, from morality, understanding how should we behave, what is right, what is wrong, what's the difference between that and good and bad, is it a matter of perspective, like the spider and the butterfly, which one do we root for? Is one bad? Is one, you know, is it good that the butterfly was eaten, or is it bad? You know, that sort of thing. And so I mix all this together into a story that involves time travel.
Oh, wow.
Real components of time, the mechanics of time and the timeline, with ideas and concepts about aliens. But really, the thing that people, I think, have found the most valuable is maybe half the book is set in the spirit realm. So there is a character, I won't say who, but there is a character who dies. And what happens when you die? Yeah.
So I think I'm excited to read it. And like I said, I just got it tonight. Oh, man, super excited. But, you know, I was thinking about that as we discussed time travel on Chasing Prophecy last week. And it's a relatively newer concept of that people are just now realizing. And plus, the world has been shifting into higher dimensions, you know, between the fourth and fifth and things like that over the last few years. But that's still completely new to us, you know? So just I know I'm a channeler. So when other entities or interdimensional beings and such try to give me a message to put out or to give to someone, it's so frustrating because they try to, you know, it's almost like speaking a foreign language, because with their advancement, trying to speak to us or show us in a linear fashion, you know, opposed to how our human brains try to process things. It is very, very difficult. You know, I tell anything I communicate with, I'm like, treat me like a child. I know. Just, yeah, I'm sure it's frustrating on both sides. You know,
yeah.
So I'm really interested to hear your, you know, your version of and perception of those things as well in the book.
It's a fascinating subject, and it's important because we're not just dealing with. I mean, if you think of the conflicts that are going on the planet right now, you could consider that like to some extent, things like wars, battles, even politics, is a battle of geographic, who owns those geographic areas, you know, and it's all geography. When you bring in time travel into it, and when you understand that the future is there right now, that time is actually multidimensional, which I explain in my book, and that the past and the future exist and can be changed by our traveling and communications through time, then you get not just a geographic landscape that you're battling over, but a temporal one. And that is one of the things that we're working on in our group at the moment, is to try to build a better future. Because as Yoda says in Empire Strikes Back, the future is in motion. And we are trying to change the future to be better with the assistance of some of our alien friends.
And, you know, science just changes every day, but has just recently proven that all of these, you know, anything with a very strong wars and such from the past, with a very strong negative energy, does carry on through our genes, through our, you know, through, it is through generations. And so transmuting that energy as a collective, as an entire world, you know, I know, that's often hard for people to even comprehend, you know, how that works. So do you, I guess, are there levels I've seen where in the CE5 groups, they can become their own, you know, have their own districts or teach others as well? Do you, and you have levels, right, of learning, I guess.
Yeah. First of all, maybe I'll state something that maybe hasn't come out in this show so far, but we have made, and we continually have, very successful relationships and communications with aliens. This is not just like going out trying to prove things, and sometimes we see a flash of light in the sky. We have working relationships with specific aliens whose names we know, and we know a lot about these aliens, and they are working with us in certain to help us as a group to advance, to evolve, to become enlightened in certain ways. So I've put together this system, which I call CE5 Wisdom. And it's an optional system within my group that anybody that wants to, they can work through this system and raise their level of what I would call wisdom in a way that aliens are supporting. And we hear from them on like a weekly basis saying, we love what you're doing, keep doing it, keep doing it, just keep doing it. We like what you're doing. And this, so we offer people a way to become enlightened themselves, or to raise, you could say it in a million different ways, to raise your vibrational energy, to transmute your energy. What we're really talking about is becoming wiser in a way that we can leave behind all of the mistakes that has plagued humanity, like war, conflict, hatred, revenge, all those negative things. We can leave those behind. We can understand ways in which we still are creating pain that we haven't yet figured out. Because when you look back in the past and you see all these people making all these mistakes like sexism and racism and so forth, those people, they were the same species that we are. Oh. And back then, they felt justified in what they were doing. Yeah. Today, we still have forms of negative discrimination, and we cause immense pain on this planet in ways that people don't realize. So my CE5 Wisdom system is a way that people can advance their knowledge and experience, their thinking skills to determine what is true and what isn't, because half of the planet can't work out what's real anymore. Mm-hmm. And what is moral, and what is the heart of morality? Why does that make sense? So that's something that I offer to people. And as individuals and as a group, therefore, we can evolve into the future. And literally, that's what we're doing with the help of some of our alien friends.
That's amazing. Yeah, I'm looking forward to, like I said, I initially came across one of your groups in Meetup, for the group outings, and I was super excited, and then all of a sudden the shutdown happened.
Oh yeah.
So I just recently came across it again. So if people want to find more information, find more of your, I got your book off of Amazon. I'm not sure. Is it sold? Do you have another website? How can people get in contact with you, find more information about CE5?
Yeah. Well, actually on your website, I left a comment, just guiding people to the right place today. People can find me on Facebook. They can send me a message. Or you can just go in Facebook, you can search for Global CE5. You can search for Kansas CE5, for Missouri CE5, whichever state you're in, we have a group. We have a group in every state. And if you see that the group, one of the admin is me, Rupert Kortos, you found the right group. There are lots of other groups out there.
I saw that.
Yeah.
But on your group, there's, I just joined the groups and there's a plethora of information. I think it's great because that does kind of alleviate some of the fear or anxiety of, for people who might not know a lot about it. So, and you also have, I know you have in Kansas City, a speaking event at the Metaphysics Fair? Coming up,
the KC Spirit and Paranormal Convention.
Yes.
Bettina and April organize this convention, and they do one every few months, and that is coming up in March, I think mid the second half of March maybe, and I will be speaking on the Saturday at that event. And we've got people flying in from all around the country and some even from other parts of the world to come to that convention to hear me speak and to ask me questions. And I'll have copies of my book there if anybody's interested in sci-fi. So, yeah, come up and say hello if you attend that event.
And then you... I saw where it said you were going to be showing some evidence too, because, a lot of people are evidence-based as far as pictures and art. And, that was another thing. As an artist, I'm curious, do you ever intuitively or, I guess, create artwork with your groups while communicating?
Yes. We haven't gone as far as having channeled art. Mm-hmm. But what we do is when we remote view to somewhere, when we astrally project, for example, there is a being called Tuk Tuk that we remote view to, that we astrally project to. And those people who are psychically perceptive can see very clearly exactly what the being looks like. We call her a she, even though she's not technically female. Right. But we can see what she looks like. We can look around, we can ask her questions. What do your children look like? What does the environment look like? And there seem to be rather a high percentage of people in our groups who are very artistic. I guess that's quite interesting. And they often will draw artwork. And we have some very talented artists. I used to do art, and I've tried drawing a picture of Tuk Tuk, and it's taken me rather a long time to get it right, but yes, I have done that also. So if you go to our website, you will be able to see some of that artwork. What we can't show you is, here's a photograph of an alien that's standing right next to us. Haven't got that far yet. We hope to in the future. So the evidence we have is not going to be proof in that respect, but you can watch videos of us in our Zoom meetings where we are reaching out and we're asking questions. And then afterwards, when we say to each other, what did you see? What did you see? Or what did you hear? What did you hear? When 10 people in the group all see exactly the same thing and hear exactly the same thing, and nobody hears anything contrary to that, right, then that is logical proof. And so that sort of proof we have a lot of.
I think, especially coming from New Mexico in the Roswell area, it's amazing. And I love hearing stories from people like you and what you're doing as far as spreading a different context, a different perception of what the relationship between anything in the spirit realm or aliens can be with humans, because it's not all negative. And that is part of why, because in New Mexico growing up, a lot of it was negative, you know, as far as what happened or what people thought happened. All of it was negative. I don't want to say a lot of it, all of it was negative. So, and created fear and everything else. And there was no way I was going to ever try to attempt to contact an alien. I was like, I don't know what happened in Roswell.
Yeah.
So.
I agree that, I mean, it's a flaw of many humans that we just assume that if we don't know what something is, it's out to hurt us.
And the unknown is scary. So I'm definitely looking forward to that. Go to the CE5 webpage, like it, follow them. They're doing some amazing stuff. So Rupert, thank you again for speaking with me. I look forward to going to attending, one of the meetups and learning more about it too. It's all very fascinating to me. So,
well, thank you very much, Trish, for inviting me onto your show. I've had a lovely time, and I look forward to seeing you again.
Absolutely. And so next week, I have some crazy things planned for the show. This show is not going to be as, I mean, obviously it's paranormal focused and aliens and everything, because that's 100% part of who I am and my life. And, but I want to have stories from real people on things, almost the same thing, whether it be animals or humans or aliens, that the perception has been changed, from fearful or how it changed their lives. So I think that's what the future of the missing piece is going to be about. So, because that's very personal to me, it's very changing my perception of aliens and the paranormal has opened up an entire new world of who I can help, who I can, and it is scary. It's fascinating and scary and mind blowing how far as humans our energy reaches, So,
yeah. Yeah, I love the name of your show. I like the peace.
Because my entire life, that's kind of where that came from, When I was little, I would interact with elementals in the forest and different, native. We lived on old native ruins and wagon trails and stuff. So I would sit, and so the dead were, we didn't have neighbors or like other kids really that close to play with or anything. So my best friends were all either dead people or fairies and stuff, which people, of course, back then nobody talked about. My parents were like, just so then I'd be like, okay, I'll go play with the animals. But I just remember the story, and they would sit with me, as a child, and they were 100%. I could see all of them perfectly fine. I could, interact with them. And I heard stories from like the 1800s, 1700s, probably stuff. I wish I could remember all of that from when I was, and this was when I was, from the time I could walk, probably, I would tell my parents about stuff like that. So, and then of course, New Mexico alone, all the you know, there's Tier C with all the satellites, and the we were the first to see the stealth fighter planes over the mountains. And then, of course, there was the like the Travis Walton experience. Mm. Wasn't far. It that was in the White Mountains in Arizona, so that wasn't far from me. You know, so there's all this information coming in. And but to me, in the beginning, before the negative parts, it was all very positive, and well, aside from the human parts too, I guess I should say, because the adults, you know, of course, which back then it was still very taboo, and nobody talked about it, and nobody wanted the kid who spoke to dead people and aliens, you know. So but aside from that, my interactions were all at that point were all very pretty peaceful. You know, they treated me like they were, I had this entire wilderness full of protective beings as their child. So
that's awesome. Are you familiar with, I think it's close to Roswell, Haystacks? There's a Haystack Mountain or Overlook or Hill or something like that. There's like an outdoors vehicle area where people drive around in their outdoors vehicles.
Called Haystack?
Yeah, it's northeast of Roswell. That's where I've done CE5 events. I've camped out in the desert there, and the last time I camped out in the desert, I was the only one there. Everybody else had left. And there I am in the middle of the Roswell desert in my tent, falling asleep, and I start to get sleep paralysis. And I can clearly see these transdimensional beings skipping jokily. I think they were terrestrial transdimensional beings rather than, you know, alien. And they're sort of skipping towards my tent, sort of laughing and joking. Ooh, what's this we found here? I wonder who's in this inside here. And I was just too tired, so I was like, I'm sorry, guys, but not this evening. I'm going to sleep. So I didn't find out who they were, but that was my experience with what you might call elementals or
right.
You know, terrestrial transdimensional entities. Yeah.
It's they're all around us, and I, you know, I'm the same way. There's been so many times I'm like, oh man, I forgot, or I fell asleep, or something happened. But we unfortunately are out of time. I would love to have you on the show again in the future, you know, after some of your tours, and after I've read your book.
Yeah.
But again, thank you. It's been such a pleasure speaking with you, Rupert. And thank you to all my listeners, my exciting first show. So hope you all tune back in next week for The Missing Piece.
Wonderful. Thank you so much, Trish.
Thank you.